Stuart Turton's debut novel, The 712 Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle, has become a cultural phenomenon, blending Agatha Christie-style murder mystery with groundbreaking narrative innovation. This mind-bending thriller has earned passionate endorsements from Stephen King and captured readers worldwide with its intricate puzzle box structure. Originally titled The Seven Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle in the UK, the book won the Costa First Novel Award and has been translated into over 30 languages. What makes this novel particularly fascinating is Turton's background as a travel journalist with no formal creative writing training. He simply locked himself away for 3 years, emerging with one of the most structurally ambitious mysteries of the decade. The book has been optioned for television, with fans eagerly anticipating how its complex narrative will translate to screen. But what exactly makes this twisted tale so captivating? Our protagonist awakens in a forest with no memory, not even his own name. He's shouting for someone named Anna while inhabiting a body he doesn't recognize. The hands before him are strangers' hands, and panic threatens to overwhelm him until an inner voice guides him to calm down. Dressed in a mud-splattered dinner jacket, he glimpses a woman in a black dress fleeing through the trees, pursued by someone. Despite his attempt to help, his exhausted body fails him, and a gunshot silences her scream. Moments later, someone approaches from behind, smelling of alcohol and cigarettes, and drops a silver compass into his pocket, whispering, "East." Following the compass through howling wind and rain, he discovers red handkerchiefs nailed to trees that lead him to Blackheath, a sprawling Georgian manor house in decay. Inside, he's greeted as Sebastian Bell, apparently a doctor, though the name feels wrong to him. When he frantically explains about Anna's murder, the other guests are skeptical. Left alone in his sparse bedroom, he examines an invitation addressed to Dr. Sebastian Bell, requesting his attendance at a masquerade ball celebrating Evelyn Hardcastle's return from Paris. Bell's investigation is interrupted by a man in a plague doctor costume who cryptically warns him about the footman who isn't going to stop with your arm. When Bell attempts to arrange transport to escape Blackheath, he discovers a shocking note from Anna herself, claiming she's alive and asking to meet at the mausoleum at 10:20 p.m. Despite his suspicions of a cruel trick, he decides he must attend the meeting. If Anna truly survived, he cannot abandon her again. This opening establishes the novel's disorienting premise. Our protagonist is trapped in a body not his own, with no memory of his identity, and thrust into a murder mystery where nothing is as it seems. The setting itself becomes a character. Blackheath House, once grand, but now revealed as a melancholy ruin, with musty rooms, threadbare rugs, and rat poison in the corners. A physical manifestation of the decaying aristocratic family that inhabits it. What begins as confusion soon transforms into horror as our protagonist discovers he's trapped in a time loop, experiencing the same day repeatedly through different hosts. After Bell, he awakens as Collins the butler, then Donald Davies, Lord Ravencourt, Jonathan Darby, Edward Dance, Jim Rashton, and finally Gregory Gold, each with distinct personalities, capabilities, and social positions within Blackheath's hierarchy. Each host presents unique advantages and limitations. Bell is cowardly but observant. Collins the butler is brutally beaten early in the day. Ravencourt is intelligent but immobilized by his obesity. Darby is a despicable sexual predator whose impulses constantly threaten to overwhelm our protagonist's control. As he cycles through these bodies, he must battle not only external threats, but also the personalities of his hosts, which sometimes wrestle for control of their shared body. The plague doctor, a mysterious figure in a beaked mask, explains the rules. Solve Evelyn Hardcastle's murder by midnight in the final host, or have all memories stripped away to begin again as Bell. The protagonist learns he's not alone in this nightmare. Two other players are also trapped in Blackheath, wearing different hosts just like him. Only one can escape, and it will be whoever solves the mystery first. This ingenious premise allows Turton to explore questions of identity and moral responsibility. Is our protagonist responsible for Darby's past crimes? Can he overcome Ravencourt's physical limitations? Does he become a different person in each body, or does some essential self remain? These philosophical questions add depth to what might otherwise be merely a clever narrative device. A recurring threat emerges in the form of the footman, a tall, thin man with a broken nose who stalks the protagonist across his hosts. Unlike the players who cycle through multiple bodies, the footman maintains one consistent form, yet demonstrates an uncanny ability to recognize the protagonist regardless of which body he inhabits. His appearances are strategically timed, often coinciding with moments when the protagonist has just uncovered crucial information or is physically isolated from potential allies. The footman's presence transforms Blackheath from a sophisticated murder mystery setting into a visceral survival horror scenario. He operates with methodical precision, treating the hunt as an art form. He doesn't just kill, he orchestrates elaborate psychological torment, calling the protagonist rabbit and savoring each encounter like a connoisseur of fear. His knife attacks follow a distinct pattern, shallow cuts at first, designed to weaken and terrorize before delivering deeper, more devastating wounds. In one particularly chilling scene set in the manor's wine cellar, he whispers, "Run, rabbit, run," while repeatedly stabbing the protagonist, timing his strikes to prolong the victim's consciousness and awareness. This predator-prey dynamic adds a desperate urgency to the investigation. The protagonist isn't merely solving a murder. He's engaged in a frantic battle for survival across multiple bodies, never knowing when or where the footman might materialize. Each host body becomes both a fresh chance at solving the mystery and a new vessel for experiencing death. The repeated trauma of these deaths creates a mounting psychological toll, with each new awakening bringing fresh waves of panic and increasingly fragmented memories of previous failures. The footman represents the novel's deeper exploration of cruelty as entertainment. His theatrical approach to violence, the taunting, the calculated pursuit, the drawn-out kills, mirrors the way readers consume fictional violence for entertainment. Through his actions, the story examines how suffering becomes spectacle, with someone within the narrative having designed this elaborate game for their personal amusement. The footman becomes the physical embodiment of this sadistic impulse, a constant reminder that someone is watching and deriving pleasure from this cycle of death and resurrection. His broken nose and tall frame become recognizable symbols of impending doom, creating a Pavlovian response of dread in both the protagonist and reader whenever he appears in a scene. At the heart of the novel lies the central mystery: who kills Evelyn Hardcastle? Each night at 11 p.m., Evelyn approaches the reflecting pool, raises a silver pistol to her stomach, and pulls the trigger. For a moment, she stands still before collapsing into the water as fireworks explode overhead. This appears to be a straightforward suicide, but the protagonist learns it's anything but. As he investigates through different hosts' perspectives, he uncovers layers of deception. First, he discovers Evelyn planned to fake her suicide to escape an arranged marriage to Lord Ravencourt. Her scheme involved using a starting pistol for sound, a black revolver as a prop, a vial of blood for gore, and a sedative to help her play dead. But someone intends to use her fake suicide as cover for her actual murder. Michael Hardcastle, Evelyn's brother, had stolen two matching black revolvers from his mother's room, giving one to Evelyn for her fake suicide while keeping the other to murder her at the reflecting pool. His plan was perfect: shoot her with an identical gun while pulling her from the water, making it appear the bullet came from her own weapon. The investigation grows more complex when the protagonist realizes there must be a second killer, someone who poisoned both Michael and Evelyn after the shooting. This leads him to uncover an even more shocking truth. Evelyn Hardcastle is actually Madeleine Aubert, the French maid, who had been impersonating Evelyn. The real Evelyn had been murdered earlier with her body hidden at the lake. This layered deception reflects the novel's Russian doll structure. Each revelation contains another mystery within it. The apparent suicide conceals an attempted murder, which conceals an identity swap, which conceals a deeper conspiracy dating back 19 years to the murder of Thomas Hardcastle, Evelyn's younger brother. 19 years before the fateful events at Blackheath House, young Thomas Hardcastle met a brutal end near the estate's lake, his throat viciously severed in what appeared to be a crime of passion. The official narrative pointed to Charlie Carver, a servant recently dismissed from the household for conducting a clandestine affair with Helena Hardcastle. Carver was swiftly tried, convicted, and hanged for the murder. But as the protagonist delves deeper into Blackheath's shadowy past, he uncovers a web of deception that challenges everything about the accepted story. The truth emerges through Ted Stanwyn, a calculating blackmailer who has been bleeding the Hardcastle family dry for nearly two decades. His account paints a dramatically different picture of that night. Helena Hardcastle, the boy's mother, discovered kneeling in the mud beside the lake, her dress soaked crimson as she cradled her dead son's body. 10 minutes later, Charlie Carver appeared on the scene, not as a murderer, but as a man still desperately in love. In his final act of devotion to Helena, knowing his life was already ruined by his dismissal, he begged Stanwyn to corroborate a false confession that would shield Helena from suspicion. The timing of the present-day gathering at Blackheath takes on new significance with this revelation. Helena has meticulously recreated the party from 19 years ago, down to the smallest detail. The same guests, the same arrangements, even the same menu. Her conspicuous absence throughout the day and the missing revolvers from her bedroom suggest a woman preparing for a momentous confession, perhaps planning to finally unburden herself of a guilt carried for nearly two decades. The investigation into Thomas's death unveils additional layers of mystery. Keith Parker, a trusted stable hand, vanished without trace just 1 week before the murder, a disappearance that was never properly investigated. In the days leading up to his death, Thomas exhibited increasingly erratic behavior, skipping meals, speaking in whispers with the servants, and appearing unusually agitated. Most puzzling was his final known action, anxiously asking multiple people for the precise time before rushing off toward the lake where he would meet his end. These unresolved questions create a complex tapestry that intertwines with Evelyn Hardcastle's present-day murder. The protagonist realizes that these two deaths, separated by 19 years, are inextricably linked, each death casting shadows that reveal truths about the other. As he moves between his various hosts, gathering fragments of information from different perspectives and time periods, he begins to understand that solving Thomas's murder isn't just about uncovering historical truth. It's essential to understanding the present and ultimately escaping the temporal prison of Blackheath. The protagonist's journey through Blackheath becomes increasingly complex when he discovers two other trapped souls navigating the same temporal maze. Daniel Coleridge emerges first, a seemingly affable gentleman whose polite demeanor masks deadly intentions. Initially presenting himself as a potential collaborator, Daniel later reveals his true nature by orchestrating attacks through the mysterious footman. His unique temporal condition adds intrigue. Unlike the protagonist's continuous memory across loops, Daniel must solve Blackheath's puzzle within a single day before his memories reset completely. Anna's situation presents a different kind of imprisonment. Confined to her original body as a maid, she can't jump between hosts like the protagonist, making her both more vulnerable and more grounded in Blackheath's reality. Her unwavering presence becomes a constant in the protagonist's ever-shifting experience, and their alliance grows from mere convenience into something more profound. Together, they develop an intricate system of signals and safe houses to protect various hosts from the footman's methodical attacks. The competitive dynamics between these three players transform Blackheath from a simple murder mystery into a complex game of strategy and survival. Daniel's possession of Stanwyn's notorious blackmail books gives him significant leverage, while his claim of imminent escape forces the protagonist to race against time. The footman's attacks become more frequent and calculated, suggesting Daniel's growing influence over Blackheath's deadly chess game. This three-way competition reaches its emotional apex when it becomes clear that only one person can break free from Blackheath's temporal prison. The protagonist faces an impossible choice between self-preservation and loyalty to Anna, a decision made more complicated by dark revelations about their shared past. Through recovered memories and cryptic hints, it emerges that in previous iterations of the loop, the protagonist had murdered Anna, creating a deep well of justified mistrust between them. The Plague Doctor's ominous warning about Anna's hidden memories adds another layer of psychological tension. Anna remembers more from the last loop than she's telling you. She's going to betray you. This revelation casts every interaction in a new light, forcing the protagonist to question every shared moment and confidence. Their relationship becomes a delicate balance of necessity and suspicion, with each party never quite certain of the other's true motives. The competition culminates in a web of shifting alliances, betrayals, and desperate gambles for freedom. Each character's actions become increasingly unpredictable as their true natures and hidden agendas emerge through the fractured lens of Blackheath's time loop. This complex dynamic forces players to question not only their opponent's motives, but also their own moral boundaries in their quest for escape. In the climactic final day at Blackheath, the protagonist's confrontation with the Plague Doctor reaches a breaking point over Anna's fate. Refusing to abandon her, he demands answers with an intensity that is built over hundreds of loops. The dramatic unmasking of the Plague Doctor as Oliver, a reveal that shakes the very foundation of everything that came before, leads to an even more shattering revelation. Anna is actually Annabelle Caulker, a ruthless terrorist responsible for multiple deaths, including the protagonist's beloved sister Juliet. The truth about Juliet's death is particularly horrific. She endured 7 days of methodical torture at Annabelle's hands, each day bringing new terrors until her final breath. This revelation transforms our understanding of the protagonist, Aiden Bishop, who entered Blackheath 3 decades ago with vengeance in his heart. His mission was never about saving Anna, but about making her suffer eternally within the time loop. However, the countless iterations had an unexpected effect, gradually eroding his memories and hatred, allowing him to see Anna as someone worth protecting rather than punishing. This transformation raises profound questions about identity and rehabilitation. Aiden passionately argues that Annabelle Caulker is dead, not physically, but fundamentally. Through thousands of loops in Blackheath, she has been reconstructed into someone entirely different. If Blackheath's purpose is truly rehabilitation rather than mere punishment, then Anna's transformation from a murderous terrorist to someone capable of love and sacrifice must be acknowledged as genuine. The mystery of Evelyn's death takes an unexpected turn when Felicity Maddox emerges at the gatehouse. In a shocking sequence, she reveals herself as the true killer, firing multiple shots at Evelyn. This twist underscores how the obvious solution isn't always the correct one. While Aiden and Anna were trapped in their own drama of redemption and revenge, the real killer had been hiding in plain sight. The Plague Doctor's final judgment, granting both Aiden and Anna their freedom, validates their transformation. Their decision to leave Blackheath together represents a profound choice about identity and forgiveness. Aiden's refusal to reclaim his old memories, despite knowing he'll face Aiden Bishop's reflection every morning, speaks to the novel's core message about identity being a choice rather than a prison. This decision suggests that who we choose to be matters more than who we were. that identity is not a fixed point, but a continuing journey of choices and changes. The ending challenges readers to consider whether true redemption is possible and what it means to forgive both others and ourselves. It suggests that while the past cannot be changed, its power over us can be broken through conscious choice and transformation. The novel concludes with Aiden and Anna's dramatic departure from Blackheath Manor, stepping into the encompassing darkness with nothing but a flickering lantern to guide them. The plague doctor's final warning carries ominous weight. Mysterious forces will actively hunt for Anna, and their survival depends on maintaining complete isolation from their former lives and associates. This warning suggests a vast conspiracy beyond Blackheath's walls, hinting at a broader system of supernatural justice. Aiden faces a profound choice about his identity. Should he reclaim Aiden Bishop's memories, the life of a man consumed by revenge who spent years plotting Sebastian Bell's murder, or begin anew, unburdened by past trauma? The decision to forgo his original memories represents more than pragmatic survival. It embodies the theme of redemption through reinvention. His choice mirrors Anna's own transformation from murderer to someone seeking redemption. The simple pleasures Aiden anticipates take on extraordinary significance after his ordeal. The luxury of consecutive days in the same body, the joy of watching a sunrise without knowing someone will die, the freedom to form genuine relationships untainted by deception. Each represents a stark contrast to Blackheath's perpetual cycle of death and deception. Even mundane experiences, drinking tea, walking in a garden, having an honest conversation, become precious when viewed through the lens of his imprisonment. The novel's conclusion deliberately leaves several compelling mysteries unresolved. The world beyond Blackheath remains tantalizingly undefined. Is it the same historical period, or has time moved forward? The identity and extent of the organization controlling these supernatural punishments remain hidden. These open questions serve both narrative and thematic purposes, suggesting that redemption's path extends beyond the story's final pages. Through Aiden's extraordinary journey inhabiting 8 distinct lives, each with their own memories, abilities, and moral compasses, Turton crafts a sophisticated meditation on identity and consciousness. The experience of living as Lord Ravencourt differs fundamentally from inhabiting the dancer Daniel Coleridge, yet some essential quality of Aiden persists. This raises profound questions about personality, free will, and the nature of self. When Aiden acts nobly in one host, but selfishly in another, which represents his true character? The novel ultimately suggests that identity is neither fixed nor predetermined. While our circumstances and memories influence us, our capacity to choose, to act with courage, show mercy, or pursue redemption defines who we truly are. Aiden's final choice to abandon his original memories represents the ultimate assertion of this principle. We are not bound by our past selves, and redemption becomes possible when we're brave enough to choose a different path. Beyond its intricate plot, The 712 Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle functions as a powerful metaphor for memory, trauma, and healing. Blackheath itself, with its decaying grandeur, hidden passages, and trapped inhabitants, represents the prison of the past. The mansion's labyrinthine corridors mirror the complexity of human memory, while its deteriorating state reflects how trauma can corrode even our most cherished recollections. The characters are literally forced to relive the same day repeatedly, just as trauma survivors often find themselves mentally returning to their worst moments, trapped in an endless loop of remembrance and pain. The protagonist's journey through different hosts mirrors the fragmentation of identity that can occur after severe trauma. Each host embodies distinct aspects of personality that must be reconciled. Bell's cowardice manifests in his tendency to flee from confrontation. Ravencourt's intellect serves as both shield and weapon. Darby's cruelty reveals the darkness that trauma can nurture, and Rashton's courage shows the potential for growth and change. These aren't merely different characters, but representations of the splintered self that must be integrated for healing to occur. Through Aiden Bishop's eyes, we witness how these seemingly contradictory aspects of personality can coexist within a single psyche. The novel's most profound insight may be that freedom requires forgetting as much as remembering. The footman's plague mask, a recurring motif throughout the narrative, symbolizes how we hide from our own truths, while the perpetual loop of the day represents the cyclical nature of traumatic memory. Aiden's decision to abandon his memories at the end represents a radical form of forgiveness, not just of Anna, but of himself. This choice echoes the therapeutic concept of letting go, suggesting that sometimes healing requires us to release our grip on the past rather than constantly trying to make sense of it. The mansion's physical decay parallels the psychological deterioration of its inhabitants, while the various timelines represent different attempts to process and understand trauma. Through this complex narrative structure, Turton transforms what begins as an ingenious puzzle box into something more profound, a meditation on how we might escape the prisons of our own making. The true mystery at the heart of the 712 deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle isn't who killed Evelyn, but how we might kill the versions of ourselves that keep us trapped in cycles of suffering, allowing something new and better to emerge from the darkness. The novel suggests that true freedom might not lie in solving every mystery of our past, but in choosing which memories to carry forward and which to leave behind in the decaying halls of our personal Blackheaths.